Hello, and welcome to Dialogues, presented by Design for the Common Good, a resource that offers a collection of exchanges that are helping to shape perspectives and understanding in the space of community-based design practices. I am your host, Rana Kobe. In a city that we now call Portland, Oregon, whether you're a designer, an educator, a student, or just your regular citizen, it only takes one look around our environment for us to recognize how our cities, traffic noises, pollution, and more contribute to an ever-growing list of issues that many of us are having to grapple with today, like inequity, our public health, and climate change. And I will also add that these challenges are experienced in different scales across many different communities globally. But if you're like me and you let your thoughts wander, you might find yourself asking, what was this place like if this wasn't all here? And what other possible futures might we have if we didn't find ourselves in these positions? In this special two-episode series, you will hear about the story of the Oak Savannah Project and explore what's at the intersection of indigenous, traditional, ecological, and cultural knowledge and architecture, and how that might inform something else, like environmental stewardship, sustainable futures, and environmental and community-led practices in architecture. To start us off in today's episode, I wanted to take some time to introduce our four storytellers who are all representative and partners from the Indigenous, Traditional, Ecological, and Cultural Knowledge Program, also known as ITEC, at Portland State University.
Tots may we. I'm Judy Bluehorse Skelton, Nimiipuu, Cherokee, and Associate Professor in the Indigenous Nation Studies Department here at Portland State University. I have worked for many years in the Portland metro area in the fields of cultural education on behalf of either the Indian Education Office with Portland Public Schools, and in the last 20 years here at Portland State in Indigenous Nation Studies, creating curriculum, everything from contemporary issues in Indian country to Indigenous women leadership and Indigenous healing practices, and have always had a passion and love for community and our plant relatives. So have found that over the last 30 years, my journey seems to be very much centered in reclaiming the urban forest for food, medicine, healthy life ways ceremony, and that's what I have the honor to be doing today with so many wonderful people and students.
My name is Emma Johnson. I'm a Caledge tribal member, and I currently work at Portland State University in our College of Liberal Arts and Sciences Dean's Office, where I am our ITEC coordinator, which stands for Indigenous Traditional Ecological and Cultural Knowledge. But we say ITEC for short because that's a lot to say. I made my way into this role from previously teaching with Judy Bluehorse Skelton in the Indigenous Nation Studies Department, which I did for about a year and a half before transitioning into the coordinator role.
My name is Mendy Miller, and I'm the ITEC community partner right now. I have been in that position for probably about a year, and before that I was an OS2. And that was located in the School of Gender, Race, and Nations out of the Park Mill building. And that was more of a in-the-office job. And my ITEC community partner job has been more flexible and out in the field.
Chela Athena Relatos Wa Umnushi. Hello, I'm Athena Relatos. I'm an enrolled member of the Confederated Tribes of Siletz Indians. And I just recently graduated with my Master's of Architecture from Portland State University. Before that, I wrapped up a Bachelor's of Psychology here at Portland State and minored in Indigenous Nations Studies, and that's where I really started getting involved with ITEC. Got to learn alongside Judy Bluehorse Skelton, and then really took to being in community and just found myself, like, I wasn't even in pursuit of a minor in Indigenous Nation Studies, but found myself always wanting to take every class I could and coming back because that's where my community was. And so that led me down my journey into ITEC and bringing it into architecture.
Okay, to start us off in today's episode, I'm taking you to the heart of the action. So, I invite you to join me for a trip at the Oak Savannah and have a discussion with Judy as she tells us the journey to reclaiming the Oak Savannah site that began over more than a decade ago. Judy, is it okay if I maybe kind of expand on that conversation a little bit more? For folks who are not as familiar in the Oak Savannah and iTech Center and what you and your students and so many of the folks that have contributed to the transformation of this place, Judy, could you give us a little bit of context on what is the Oak Savannah and iTech Center here at Portland State University?
Portland is in an Oak Savannah. In fact, the Willamette Valley is an Oak Savannah. And we've been told there's perhaps less than 1.5% left of the Oak Savannah. Obviously, oaks are featured in that ecosystem, in that landscape. The Oregon white oak, who can live hundreds and hundreds of years and is a source of a healthy fat, healthy protein with the acorns, but also that open savanna, open prairie, where our other plant relatives like camas, one of our beloved first foods, but many other native plants that thrive and make up a savanna. Some people might say a meadow, but it's if you drive along I-5 between Eugene and Nichiwana, the big river, Columbia River up here at Portland, you'll see that kind of open prairie, and you will see remaining white oaks there dotted along what might be farming now or other land practices. But we are in that. And so the Oak Savannah on campus was recognized by students in my classes probably 14 years ago. We would come to this open space right in the center, right in the heart of campus, that was just an open field. We say just an open field. But students, we gravitated to learn what we were observing. We watched the seasons change. Students began to observe pollinators, who lives here. We recognized the gifts of not only our native plants for health and healing, but also the gifts of those plants that like to come in an urban setting.
As Judy and I would continue to discuss, she shared with me all the different activities and teachings she and her students had learned through observing the land and plant relatives as the seasons change. Some of those that she had shared with me are recognizing how introduced plants tilled the land and provided the environment for other plants to thrive and contribute to the disruption of traditional institutional tending. They also partnered up with campus facilities and bringing in logs and creating the place of sanctuary and gathering space students had envisioned that all in all have contributed to the ongoing transformation to the Oak Savannah that we are now more familiar with today. But as Judy puts it,
in essence, Oak Savannah, often under threat across the country because it's easy to put development on. New housing, towns, highways, and consequently, we've lost a lot of that habitat. And what we recognized is how do we restore, refresh, protect this little piece here and expand throughout the urban forest? And we have.
Throughout this episode, you'll often hear ITEC, or Indigenous Traditional Ecological and Cultural Knowledge, and you'll hear Judy and others tell you what it is and how it shows up in all aspects of life that might be unfamiliar to how we might understand and view things from a Western perspective.
Indigenous traditional ecological and cultural knowledge is really a way of life. It's a relational worldview, and that distinguishes it from Western science immediately. We are all related. There isn't a subject and an object. You're not objective. Observation is certainly critical. Taking the long observation in iTech means you're watching land, water, weather, move across a space, move across the land throughout the seasons to see what's happening here, who likes to grow here, but also what our responsibility and what our gifts are to bring. So it's a very reciprocal relationship. It's a very intimate. People are invited to not just research camas and learn what its chemical constituents are, or when's the best time to transplant or all of the other things. Important to know, but we miss a lot if we don't go deeper and recognize that there's something more going on here, and we're going to miss it. And so Indigenous traditional ecological and cultural knowledge, we wanted to be sure to leave the cultural knowledge in there. Ecological, we have found in the past 20 plus years, or just tech, traditional ecological knowledge, often has in the past been appropriated, misappropriated, leaving the people out, leaving the history of people, leaving the story of place and the people together, and looking at technique and looking at strategies. Can be helpful. You're managing land, managing forests right now. The U.S. Forest Service is looking at tribal management of forests because it's so beneficial, it's so different. But we want to make sure people bring the heart to it.
Well, what role does ITEC leadership have in addressing issues that many of us and other communities globally are facing, like climate change and inequities?
ITEC really helps bridge that gap of making us feel connected to place and not separate from the environment, which we really need that connectivity moving forward to actually care for this ball, this globe that we live on, right? Because she shows up for us every day, and not nearly enough of us show up for her. And it's very evident of what the repercussions are of that. We're seeing it today, and we've seen it in the past. And it's particularly being detrimental to Native and Indigenous communities because they're on the front lines of those spaces. They're losing their ancestral land bases. They're losing access to traditional foods. They're losing sacred sites because of the changing climate. And so we're here and we're doing it because we need to, but we need partners in that.
Many Indigenous languages will have a word for the good life, when things are balanced and people are fed, people are healthy, people and the land are together and, well, let's see, thriving, really. Ideally, it's about thriving, not just surviving, although one can survive. And survivance is important. And certainly there's lean times, droughts, times when certain seeds just don't, or certain animal friends don't come back. Our elders have been reminding us for a long time that it's our responsibility to make sure salmon come back. Well, we've done a lot of things that are impeding salmon. And Western science has, I don't want to say allowed that to happen, but if you're going to have Western, if you're going to have science, it can't be isolated from how we live and how we ensure that future generations will have clean water, will have healthy foods, will have access to our healthy medicines, that will have access to dwellings. And when we look around in our urban forest today, most people do not have access to dwellings or shelter. They do not have access to healthy foods or medicines. And more around the world, one of the hardest things to access is healthy water. And so how can a discipline that furthers research somehow, it calls for a responsibility. We can research and look, but we are not outside of that. We have that responsibility to ensure that it's there for future generations. And ITEC is centered in ensuring that those practices will be shared so that future generations will know how to live here in a good way.
After my first few conversations I had with Judy and Emma, as a non-Native person, it was very clear and evident that to really engage and connect with ITEC, there's a lot of ongoing learning and unlearning work to do. And it can start with decolonizing the mind and thinking beyond the linear Western perspective to a relational one, to live being in relation to the land, the water, and to all aspects of the natural world and our responsibilities within those relationships. But to get us back on track, Over the years, Judy, alongside Emma, has been stewarding these indigenous ways of knowing that have been practiced since time immemorial and bringing them into the Indigenous Nation Studies and implementing them for Native and non-Native students at Portland State University. And in 2022, the undergraduate iTech certificate was created and fully integrated within the PSU curriculum. And Mandy tells us what the process was like co-organizing the iTech certificate and Emma sharing with us what the iTech certificate looks like.
So the iTech certificate process was really, it was a great experience and it was also really intense. It was a collaboration of staff, faculty, and community, and we worked in a shared Google document at kind of all hours, different people working at different times is kind of what I mean. And I feel like, yeah, we were able to bring in so much history of Judy's work into the iTech certificate, and we were able to bring a lot of different perspectives by including so many people, and we were able to bring in courses that Judy's been teaching here. Like, they weren't, I think there was maybe one new course, but most of the work is things that we had already been doing, but we were just putting them into a new program.
A lot of our activities are based upon getting students out on the land, mm-hmm. and so we'll go visit partner sites like the Bureau of Environmental Services at Shokake Wetlands, which is a site that is designated to be restored for Indigenous community to gather and harvest and process plant relatives. But we get to bring our students there, and they help do the restoration practices, and so we've built a willow dome on site. We just recently planted sweetgrass. We were weaving with cattail out there, which was really fun. And then we'll go to other sites like the Native Gathering Gardens at Cooley Park, which is a really big project that Judy worked on with one of our awesome colleagues, Shauna Zier, who's from the Cow Creek Band, which is a Oregon tribe. And that was a really big project over an old like construction waste site. And so it was like a dump where people from construction sites would just take all of their construction waste. And they built like a membrane over mm-hmm. it, and then built a park in some like soccer fields and some park land. And there's an area designated for gathering gardens. And so we'll take students there, and Judy tells the incredible story of how they went through that process mm-hmm. and what it looked like for community and how it was not easy to work with different entities, but they were able to make it happen regardless. And so like also getting students to understand like the bureaucracy, right, yeah. of working with different partners and governments, and getting them to realize that they can set boundaries with that work. Mm-hmm. Because it's iTech work is so important, but you have to make sure you're taking care of yourself to do the good work that you want to do. And sometimes folks in iTech related roles will get so like overburdened with requests and things that it's like harmful mm-hmm. to them. And so we talk a lot about like, you can say, not at this time, but thank you for thinking of me, or mm-hmm. no, that's just not going to work, and here's why. And we think that that's really important. And we can use plants to help teach mm-hmm. those things, too, because plants are really good at setting boundaries. And so we do activities like that. We'll go visit those sites. Sometimes we'll host sites here on site at the Oak Savanna. We do one every single term on the Oak Savanna, but we'll also do smaller ones for our classes. And sometimes we'll just share tea, other times we'll refresh different areas on the site, pick up trash, just do some observation and see mm-hmm. how plants are doing with different times of year. And then sometimes our partners will just be like, we want to come out and see the site. And so we'll ask students if they're available and also host things like that. And so that community-based learning portion is a really, really big part of our classes because mm-hmm. that's like the goal. We right. want students to feel connected to land. We want them to meet our partners and make those connections for themselves. And we want them to just like feel welcomed in general mm-hmm. to these spaces.
To further grasp the energy of this place and how it has continued to gather and welcome so many folks, we've got to hear stories from partners who have shared being involved in the ongoing transformation of the Oak Savanna and iTech Center.
My name is Clifton Bruno. I'm Wasco from up the Columbia River, and they relocated us to the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs. And my connection here is I've been helping him out with the salmon bakes, and he'll always occasionally ask me questions about what I thought.
Hi, my name is Christine Bruno, and my heritage is Basque, Comanche, and Irish, but I married this river Indian over 40 years ago, so this is the culture we practice with our children and grandchildren. And we've been involved here at PSU since we remember the Native American Student Community Center being built and then opening. We worked with a nonprofit, and we were the first community group to use the space, and that was on the weekend after the opening. So that was real cool to be part of that. And we remember when this Oak Savannah project was just an idea. I look forward to the space becoming something as the plants grow and mature, as a place that people can come and find a little peaceful spot in nature here in the city, and be able to, you know, close their eyes or keep their eyes open and just enjoy the beauty and the feel and the smells of being in nature. As they take a break from their classes or their jobs here on campus, or maybe they're just visiting campus, and just have a nice, peaceful place to be and connect with nature.
And have put in along the freeway denser vegetation so the sound is absorbed.
My name is Emma Joel Cohen. I'm Ashkenazi Jewish and European ancestry. And I'm a graduate from the Indigenous Nation and Native American Studies program at PSU. So exciting that finally, you know, an institution, a colonial institution, is recognizing Indigenous science and ecological knowledge as an important, and the world, you know, is really starting to recognize this wisdom, these scientific practices and ecological practices that Indigenous people have been practicing since time immemorial, that they're being acknowledged, they're being recognized. And, you know, both the ITEC certificate and the Indigenous Nation and Native American Studies major, which I both received at PSU, were not instated when I started at PSU. And so, like, I just want to uplift and, like, shout out to all the people who worked so hard and, like, got enough signatures and, you know, like, just talk to people, like, this is important, this needs to happen. I'm really excited for that land to, you know, have, like, it would be so amazing to see more blooming camas and just all the plant relatives and all the people that will gather there.
Coming up, we will be discussing the relationship between the Indigenous Nation Studies and the School of Architecture at Portland State University, and diving deep into what is at the intersection of ITEC and architecture after the break.